Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We're talking all things related to cranberry in part one. We push back on claims in a JAMA study and a very unfortunate editorial in JAMA that suggested that cranberries are worthless against UTIs. Not so, according to today's guest. She should know. She's spearheaded research on cranberry benefits for the urinary tract and elsewhere via the Marucci Center for Blueberry and Cranberry Research at Rutgers, which is the State University of New Jersey. Dr. Amy Howell is a research scientist there, and Amy and her team have isolated compounds from cranberry, which include tannins as well as proanthocyanidins. And proanthocyanidins, in addition to being helpful for urinary tract infections, Dr. Howell, lots of other health benefits. Can we consider, you know, a lot of people talk about blueberry benefits. What about cranberries in terms of brain, in terms of antioxidant potential, perhaps anti-cancer effects? What has your research uncovered in those areas?
Well, absolutely. Cranberries have multiple health benefits. They're really the berry group in general, including blueberries, cranberries, raspberries, blackberries, etc. They're all great, but cranberry really has some unique benefits, you know, starting with the urinary tract benefit, which is this bacterial anti-adhesion activity. But that particular benefit is not just restricted to the urinary tract. The anti-adhesion activity with bacteria is also evident in the gut. And we see a suppression and eradication of a bacteria called Helicobacter pylori, or H. pylori, which is the cause of most stomach cancers and, or most, excuse me, stomach ulcers,
right,
which can then lead to stomach cancer if untreated.
That's very interesting, because I once listed all the natural products that we thought beneficial for H. pylori infections, and so often we rely on antibiotics to treat that, but more and more we're seeing resistance to those antibiotics. And I remember that cranberry was on that list, so very interesting.
It is, and you know, as you know, if you've studied H. pylori, in order to kill these bacteria, you have to take 3 or 4 courses of antibiotics, and the lack of effect is about 25% with 4 antibiotics. So,
yeah,
you know, it's a problem. And there have been several pretty well-designed clinical trials on cranberry and H. pylori eradication and prevention. So we really look at this as something for the future, because H. pylori tends to be a big problem in less developed countries, and as a result of poor sanitation and things like that. So we see about a 40% infection rate in the U.S., but other countries like West Africa and China, places like that, we can see up to 90% of the population being infected.
Indeed.
So here is another benefit for cranberry. And the clinicals are showing that about 2 glasses of the cranberry juice cocktail that you can buy right in the market will do the trick.
A lot of people have problems with the sugar content in those products, and then at the same time they're wary of the NutraSweet, those kind of products, those artificial sweeteners. Is it possible to take a diluted shot of cranberry concentrate? I know it's very tart, and it's not for the the feeble. It's for real stalwarts of nutritional self-care. But that's what I recommend to my patients, to avoid the sugar content. Can you take less of that, or
It's interesting, because cranberry kind of gets vilified because you have to add some sort of sweetener or sugar to it. But the overall carbohydrate content of a glass of cranberry juice cocktail is the same amount of carbs as in a glass of apple juice or orange juice. So it's just that it's added. It sort of has a bad connotation. But if you want to avoid that sugar and you don't particularly like the non-nutritive sweetener route, there is 100% cranberry juice. And make sure that it's not diluted with other fruit juices, because you'll go into the store and you'll see on the shelf, it'll say 100% juice, and then it'll have cranberry underneath there with some other fruits listed. That is not 100% cranberry juice.
Yeah.
I mean, this stuff can literally, you know, rip the enamel off your teeth.
Oh, yeah.
It's so strong.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it makes it high octane.
Makes it pucker.
It
for
does.
Sure.
Because it doesn't have any sugar. So if you wanted to go that route, about a quarter of a cup of that, either as a shot or mixed in with other fruit juices or some sort of carbonated water is delicious.
You can make a spritzer. Like you can make a cranberry spritzer. Just add some club soda to it and maybe a dash of lemon or something.
Some people have even, you know, been known to use the quarter of a cup as part of a cocktail, and that works fine too. So, you know, if you want to make a very strong Cape Cod, that'll be your daily dose, if you will. But you have to use enough cranberry.
With a thimbleful of vodka. So what about other benefits? Because we often, you know, you're aware of blueberry research, blueberry in the brain. I think I've talked to someone at the Marucci Center many years ago about the brain benefits of blueberry. And if I'm not mistaken,
I think that was me. Yeah.
Okay. Great. In a different incarnation.
Yeah.
Okay. That was many years ago. And there was a blueberry extract that was recommended by the people at Rutgers, and it was like a really concentrated jam, but super concentrated. Mm-hmm. Came in a little vial, and that was supposed to confer brain benefits. Do you get similar brain benefits from cranberry, or is that distinct?
Well, you know, it's interesting because blueberry and cranberry, they're very closely related. They're the same genus, but blueberries have some other unique compounds that cranberry does not have, and cranberry has things that blueberry doesn't have. Mm-hmm. So I think they complement each other very well. I think the brain benefits of the blueberry are stronger than for cranberry.
Is it the tyrosylbene? Tyrosylbene, I believe, is in blueberry. Is that, am I correct, or is that from grapes?
Yep. No, the tyrosylbene is in blueberries. However, really the brain health benefits come from an array of different compounds in the blueberries. It's not just one in particular, because actually the tyrosylbene content is fairly small in blueberries. And we now know that quite a few of the anthocyanin pigments, if you will, that color the blueberries blue, are responsible, as well as these proanthocyanidins that occur in blueberries, which are a little different than the ones that occur in cranberries. So there are some overlap, but I think the cranberry is best known for the anti-adhesion activity in different parts of the body against these bacteria, but also the antioxidant activity and anti-inflammatory benefits of cranberry are significant. And there are some studies on the cardiovascular aspects of this. Mm-hmm. And we see benefit with just one 8 to 10 ounce glass of the cranberry juice cocktail. Again, these are not like large serving sizes per day. These are doable serving sizes. A study in Canada with overweight men who had what we call obese abdomens. It's another term for a pot belly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they had pot bellies, and these guys had it when they took one or two glasses of this cranberry juice cocktail per day. It reduced, or it actually increased their good cholesterol significantly by almost 9%. And if you look at if you were taking a pharmaceutical drug to attempt to increase your good cholesterol, you'd only get up to about a 13% benefit. So we're at 9% with cranberry, a glass a day. So I'd much rather go that route, because there's a lot of side effects to these drugs that people take for cholesterol control.
Indeed.
It's phenomenal that cranberry can do this as well.
And what about dried cranberries? Because I just got a bag of dried cranberries. I wanted to spice up my dessert. I sometimes make it with fresh fruit, put a little coconut cream on top, and then throw some nuts or some dried cranberries on it. Do they confer similar benefits to the juice, or does the juice have or the powder have unique properties?
No, in fact, there have been a couple of studies, well-designed studies, on the what we call the sweet and dried cranberries. And that's a very good way to get the benefits as well. And a single serving, you know, it's about a quarter of a cup or it fit in the palm of your hand. And that's the serving per day of those. And we do see anti-adhesion activity in the urine. They say urinary tract benefits. We see cardiovascular health benefits. So it's, you know, any form of cranberry that you can take on a daily basis or even several times a week, will confer some pretty amazing health benefits.
What about proanthocyanidins versus cancer? Is there any research showing, I mean, as with many fruit and vegetable compounds, clearly there's some activity. Has there been research on that?
Yes, there has. You know, it's very difficult to do clinical trials on cancer because you can't really infect people with cancer,
yeah, exactly.
If you will.
Right.
You know, so a lot of the research has been done in the laboratory on cell culture lines, and so it gives an indication of how it would work potentially in the body. And we see quite significant effects against esophageal cancer and breast cancer especially. So that's, you know, very interesting, and also, you know, a nice benefit if you're going to take it anyway for some of these other health issues, to have things like reduction of rapid tumor growth and a reduction in or an increase in what we call apoptosis, which is, you know, cell death, programmed cell death, if you will. It sort of tells the cancer cells it's time to die. Mm-hmm. That's the problem with cancer, is they just keep growing and they never die. And so the cranberry actually says, okay, it's time to die. So.
I'm reading an article here that, I don't know, maybe you had some input into this. Five ways cranberries defeat cancer cells, looking at multiple pathways. You know, as you mentioned, apoptosis, which is the programmed cell death. There's another aspect to this, which is detoxification. Because, you know, we're exposed on a daily basis, especially you folks down there in New Jersey. that's a dig. Excuse me. I'm a New Yorker, so I couldn't resist. But we're exposed to toxins on a daily basis. And it's possible that cranberry revs the body's detoxification pathways, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right. It can. And, you know, in a number of ways. One interesting mechanism, these proanthocyanidins, and again, you know, we call them PACs just because it's easier. It's not so much of a mouthful. But these are amazing compounds. They get down into your gut, and they, as you said, help to detoxify things. You know, air pollution is a huge problem, and we see the antioxidant benefits especially, which is basically a detoxification type of response, in high air pollution places. And China is and India have the highest air pollution of anywhere on the globe. And we've been over there and given talks on cranberry and trying to, convince the local populations to eat more, because they are exposed to so many types of toxins in those countries. And, the evidence is mounting, but what we see is also from a competitive bacterial point of view, when these proanthocyanidins get down in your gut, they can actually help the pathogenic E. coli, the ones that are capable of causing disease, from boring in to the layers of your gut, so that keeps them from setting up shop there and causing infections, diarrheal infections, urinary tract infections, and things like this. It just keeps them moving out of your body. And also, these compounds interact with what we call the gut-associated lymphoid tissue, or the GALT, which is an immune organ down in our gut.
Yep.
And we're seeing changes in cell signaling, which is a kind of a neurological response. The enteric nervous system is involved. And so it can have widespread effects. Like it can tell all bacteria of a certain species, okay, it's time to die, or it's time to infect, or it's time to, you know, go to sleep and wait for a while, and then it will infect later. It's sort of a, you know, it's like a gas cloud going over these things. And that's what cranberry can do, is it can actually alter this neuronal cell signaling.
Mm.
And so we're seeing all kinds of benefits for things like diabetes, glycemic control. We're seeing effects on gut barrier function. So in other words, there's a thing called leaky gut syndrome where mm-hmm. if you have diabetes or you have other issues, your gut is actually becomes permeable, and bacteria and other toxins can enter your bloodstream and cause, you know, a septic response. And
so thought to be a basis for many autoimmune diseases because of the penetrance of endotoxins and food allergens
absolutely.
Via these tiny microscopic holes.
And these cranberry proanthocyanins actually repair some of that leaky gut damage and form the redo the structure of the gut, if you will. And so, you know, it's just an amazing compound. And so we're constantly finding out new things about it and new things that it does. And it's just all you have to do is eat one serving of cranberries in any form per day to get all these amazing benefits.
Well, I'm gonna stick to my my putting the cranberries on my dessert as a result of this conversation. That's for sure. One thing that's interesting about cranberries is they're, you know, many fruits are highly domesticated. They're very different than the original fruit, like a grapefruit or a watermelon is very highly hybridized and selected for succulence and sweetness. And it seems to me that cranberry is very close to a paleo fruit that our prehistoric ancestors might have subsisted on. It's not very sweet. It's very tart. Mm-hmm. And it seems, you know, sort of small and compact and very concentrated in nutrients as opposed to some of the overinflated modern versions of fruits that we consume.
Right. It's interesting because right here, actually, I can look out my office window and there's a river running right past our research center, and there are wild cranberries growing on that river, and you can canoe there and take a little plastic bag with you and collect the cranberries and go home and make a pie or whatever you'd like to do. But the wild cranberries don't look all that different from the domesticated, if you will, cranberries that are growing in the big commercial bogs that are right down the road from us. They have done quite an extensive breeding program on cranberries, but as you said, they're pretty close to the original. They've bred them for higher yields and for color, you know, more red color, that kind of thing. The red color is interesting because it sort of serves as a sunscreen for the berries. And if you go to a cranberry bog and you look, it's only about 6 to 10 inches high, the plant canopy, and it's a big, you know, mat of plants, if you will, in this bog. And if you reach down in and you pull the plants apart, you'll see that the berries that are down close to the ground are actually white. They haven't been exposed to the sun, which
they don't,
actually
they don't need sunscreen.
On
they that, don't need the sunscreen.
Yeah, it turns on that red color. Mm. And berries that grow up in the Arctic, that where the sun just twirls around in the sky and never sets for part of the, you know, half the year, they get almost black because they need that anthocyanin pigment to protect them. So these berries that are very close to the original ones, as you say, these are mechanisms for these berries to survive better. And the proanthocyanidins are no exception in that they are defense compounds that are turned on by the plant in response to, you know, various
stresses,
environmental stresses. And so they're responsible for that astringent quality, that astringency of cranberry, the taste. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of a feeding deterrent, if you will. They're sort of a feeding deterrent to us unless we consume them with some sort of sweetener in a way that's palatable.
I believe they call
but it prevents animals from eating.
I believe they call these compounds phytoalexins, and among them are things like resveratrol, right? You know, and
exactly.
Grape fanciers will actually say, "Oh, the vintage was very good in 2013 because there was a cold snap, and it was just enough stress to bring out the flavor content in the grapes," and that. Of course, it's a signature for the presence of these beneficial plant compounds, as the taste is accentuated by just a little bit of stress. Not killing stress, obviously, but just enough stress to amp up the production of these pigments.
Well, and guess what? Grapes also produce proanthocyanidins, but they, in response to that stress, and that gives red wine its, you know, astringency and its body. But in the grapes and in other plants that produce proanthocyanidins, apples do, you know, there are a number of different dark chocolate benefits are due to these proanthocyanidins. They are shaped differently than the ones in cranberries. They have a single bond that links all these epicatechin and catechin molecules together, and they're easily broken apart in the metabolic process. In cranberry, we have a double bond holding all of these together, and it's very hard to break that bond. So they behave very differently in the body, and that's what is responsible and implicated in a lot of these benefits is that double, as we call, A-type linkage, which is the double bond,
unique
to cranberry. Yeah.
Right. Makes it perhaps more resilient to breakdown by the body. So, okay, well, you've led us on a very fascinating discussion of the topic of cranberries. And so what's today's take-home message? Our call to action is to use cranberry as a beverage or as a fruit. And where can we get more information? Is there a website for the Marucci Blueberry and Cranberry Research and Extension Center?
Well, if people are interested in the health benefits, the best place to go is the Cranberry Institute, and it is it represents all the different health aspects, and it has the studies listed, and it's cranberryinstitute.org. And I think, you know, a final word to your listeners, to consumers of cranberry for health benefits, is to be wary of media reports about cranberry, and to really dig down and to say, okay, listen, we've got a lot of evidence here. The totality of evidence shows some pretty major benefit for prevention of urinary tract infections, and now we're getting into ulcer prevention and cure, as well as heart health benefits and some anti-cancer benefits. So don't just take these media reports at face value.
You're echoing a theme of the 2016 election, because a lot of people didn't pay attention to the media,
fake
evidently,
website.
For better
right.
or for worse,
right.
and here we are.
Exactly.
But, you know, clearly, and I have to say, politics aside, I really was dismayed at that article in Journal of the American Medical Association, because I think there truly is a double standard when it comes to reporting on drug efficacy or a new surgical technique. I think they're much more exacting and rigorous about accepting a paper. It's almost like they delight in publishing articles that debunk nutritional products. And, you know, I've seen some real poor quality studies over the years that attack supplements.
Yeah, I know. And there, you know, I think it's too bad, because there are some doctors who actually are embracing alternative strategies for managing things like pain and diseases and prevention of these health afflictions without just waiting until they have to go on a pharmaceutical drug, which has lots of side effects, can be very expensive and a big strain on the healthcare system. You know, why not? You know, there's competition for stomach space. We have to eat. Why not eat something healthy that gives you these health benefits and can actually prevent some of these pretty significant issues?
Indeed. Make every meal count. All right. Thanks very much for joining us, Dr. Amy Howell, Associate Research Scientist at the Blueberry and Cranberry Research Center at Rutgers University here in New Jersey. And this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.